Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You love the Frog and Bucket more than...
No, it's good down there.
They should start paying you for ticket sales. But anyway, so Tom Segura, it's May, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah.
So Tom Segura here in May. Yeah. Now, I like Tom Segura. Watch all his specials in this lot.
I've missed this.
He's fucking good, isn't it? He is genuinely good.
Yeah, he's genuinely good.
Is he English or American?
American. slash Peruvian.
Peruvian?
Well, Segura's not exactly a normal...
Yeah, but most Americans
have a... He does a stand-up show. In Spanish as well, fluent Spanish.
Really?
Which is fucking mental, isn't it, that?
Yeah.
To be able to do this.
So he sometimes switches to Spanish.
Tom
Segura. So anyway, like we watched him, I think it was probably, it would have been pre-COVID, wasn't it? Yeah. Did you go to that one?
I didn't go to that one.
The Lowry. It was, comedians have an act, right?
Yeah.
Like any sportsman that you go to, it's not the first time he's telling that story.
No, of course it's not.
No, he's probably got a script which he's just thrown on the table.
Yeah.
But he made it feel like this was entirely off the cuff, which is, I mean, not as much as him, but I like a lot watching a lot of comedy.
No one likes comedy like he does.
No, he watches more than me.
Shut up.
He does. Not live. He watches more live.
No one watches more live than you.
Yeah. So I do like my comedy, but you can tell sometimes they get into a part where this has been written.
Yeah.
Where that entire 90 minutes from Tom Segura was just mind-blowingly good.
It was unbelievable.
Like if you think his specials are good, seeing him live will make you never want to see his specials.
Really?
It's unbelievable.
That's good. That's what you want. Because I've never...
He's put an extra day out. He had to put an extra day out in Manchester.
Has it?
Sold out.
Oh, so he's here for a couple of days then?
He's doing two, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, because we know he likes his football as well. And we do have some mutual friends. I am going to try my hardest to get Tom Segura on the brew. It's in May next year.
Right. That's a new target for you. You've got a few targets.
Jay will be so confused. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Do you know what, though? It'll be good, because if you like him, it'll be good.
Yeah, he will.
He will be carnage on this.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Like, his own podcast is mayhem beyond another level, innit?
Is it like...
This week he bought his mate for his 50th birthday.
Yeah.
Hitler's old teacup.
Right, okay.
Cost him $22,000.
Maybe he doesn't bring that part of the act to the brew.
Yeah,
he can have a brew in one of our
people who don't know
cups.
Who he is, that's going to be like, oh my God, that's horrific. I mean, there's parts of his podcast that are pretty horrific.
Yeah, pretty horrific.
But he's funny.
Funny.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
Breathlessly funny.
Good. Because some of these comedians are a bit of a miss, aren't they?
Depends. There's a podcasting and then there's a comedian. I think that's the big...
That's a great point.
I think there's a lot...
Really good point.
There's a lot now, though, that get... good in comedy because they've got good podcasts.
Yeah.
Whereas before you
didn't
need...
they sell a lot of tickets.
Yeah, they sell a lot of tickets because they're good at that.
Yeah.
Whereas before you go, if you look at the ones around here, there's good comics that have done really well because of podcasts, and there's ones that are really good comics that try and do a podcast and are shit because they just don't have that way of talking and waffling on about.
Was Rogan always massive as a comedian? Because I know he is now.
Yeah, I think he was very big as a comedian. He had a handful of specials.
Right.
Didn't he have one of them called like Jihad or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, Google it. What was it? Just Google.
Do I have to?
He's one of them that government might be looking at my, because of his podcast
search history.
They definitely are, but just rock it.
He's one of them that's done better because of his podcast and his standard. He's a good.
Yeah, his podcast took him into a different realm. But he was always doing UFC. He was on Fear Factor.
Oh, it's Shiny Happy Jihad.
Shiny Happy Jihad. Yeah.
As you know. Right.
But yeah, so Joe Rogan had loads of specials out before he was the podcast guy. His podcast got big because he was a good comedian. It's like if Ricky Gervais did a podcast. Never mind, eh? Like, if Jimmy Carr did a podcast, it'd be huge, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but he's not necessarily, that's not his thing.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carr.
Whereas there's comedians that can just, I mean, Freddie's podcast doing well at the minute.
Yeah.
He just fucking have a word pod. Have you seen what they're doing? Jesus, lads.
Deserved, though, because the grafters, aren't
they? The grafters and they're putting a lot.
Do you know what I mean? Who was it we had on here who was saying that, like, one of the top comedians asked about Freddie because he knew him from back in the day. Yeah. He's been around for years. He used to have a different name, didn't he? Different acts.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, remember? Yeah. We had someone on here who said they'd...
Tubbs. He was called Freddie.
Yeah, that was Tubbs. It. Yeah, and they saw someone.
Oh, my God, I need to find this.
Him and Freddie without a beard is horrific, by the way.
Really?
Oh, it's the worst thing you've ever seen. Yeah, it's really bad.
I think that Freddie roasting his mate is the most raw thing I've ever seen. On YouTube.
Yeah, I shared in the Have a Word roast thing they did.
It's
the maddest life thing I've been to.
No softy, nicey. It's what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you? I'm going to take the mick out of you for it. Like, genuinely. Like, proper personal, proper dark.
Why are him and Joel Bayer the go to people on GMB?
He's on GMB now.
How, right? Joel Bayer.
Freddie's been cancelled 400
Joel
times
Bayer,
as well.
I think no matter what you think about Joel, he's a safe pair of hands, right?
Yeah.
He's going to come on, he's going to give you his opinion on something. He's not going to say anything controversial or get your channel taken off the air.
But then Freddie
is the opposite. Freddie, you could ask him to come on and just talk about, I don't know, the cost of living crisis, and he's likely to get you all cancelled.
Well, he went on the other week.
Terrorism.
He went on the other week to say that fat people shouldn't be offended about something. What list are you on? You're the fat guy that goes, no, fat people are wrong.
You're a fat lad.
Yeah, he's the fat lad. He said fat people are wrong.
Is that fat people. We've got one, Freddie. Fat Freddie here, apparently. So get him in. Yeah, that's fine.
No, his podcast is... He's lent into that now and just done... Because he's good at talking and...
The weird thing is when, like, you obviously, Steve, when we started working together, you knew Freddie and you introduced me to him and we got him on. And it was so weird when we got my watch on, because one minute he's saying the most outrageous thing and I'd be like panicking but laughing, thinking, any minute now, this channel, because we're all new as well, is ended. It's over. Thanks for the experiment. Thanks for coming. We're off. But then he'd suddenly start talking about the tactics for the Europa League squad or whatever. And he'd be like, he actually knows about football, but he's off his head but and he's very funny.
On the other side of that, like, we've had Danny Mack on, he's been on the Brewing stuff, he's on my watch longs over the summer. He's not necessarily, podcast isn't his thing. He's quite laid back and quite quiet and does the odd one. Like, he's one of the best.
Is Danny Mack the one with the brother?
No.
He's one with the brother? Where's
the hat? But yeah, he just...
That's like listening to me grand trying to describe a film. The one with that guy in it?
The one whose brother batters him at 9 o'clock every night.
No, that's Jamie Hutchinson.
What?
Just get that clip up. It's fucking amazing.
What is it? He batters him every night at 9 o'clock.
He sends him a message saying, I'm going to bat you at 9 o'clock every night.
How old are these people?
30s.
It's like he'd be 14.
Do you know what?
Like, fair enough.
Do you know what's mad before?
Your 30-year-old brother battering
Jay
every night.
Jay went to Callum, can you just get us some note for the brew?
I don't know why.
What's the point?
Well, I said to him, like, time us three on the brew. Do you know what? Listen, I love it when it's us three on the brew because it's like old school. And
there's too much footy talk. I told you not to call it anything footy related. Yeah, for ages I've just been saying, call it the brew and put a disclaimer on it, even on the thumbnail, saying there might be football talk, but don't fucking count on it.
Sometimes, though, there is something worth talking about.
Not often.
So it is worth talking about. Our first sponsor.
What a great segue.
We've done really well there.
So good.
Today's podcast is brought to you by the people of Green King Pubs, which is the home of sport. They've got 900 sports pubs across the country. They don't want to plug this, but soon, your mate Scotty's been doing a bit, hasn't he, for Deansgate.
Honestly, I don't want to derail the ad read, but if you've not seen it, go to our kids' Instagram. Oh my God. If I was like, listen, you want to listen to my mate talking about poetry, you'd hit me in the face. But our kid pulls it off, doesn't he?
He's mint.
He's unreal.
But
seriously.
Anyway.
When do you want to go?
Green King Pubs all over for the football. It's the last time to go and watch the football in the pub before the World Cup. So if you want to watch United, head down to a Green King Pub. There is an app you can download. The good thing about the app is you can book your place in the pub, because we know it's going to be a nightmare over the World Cup. can be difficult to get in there. People can be full and all that kind of stuff. But you can book your place. You also, if you download the app, you receive a free drink when you register and 10% off a drink, all drinks, 1 hour before, during and after any match. Head to the App Store and download the season ticket app.
Is Leeds getting a green king?
It is. But that's, they don't want to push that right now because it's only quietly gone through.
Noise. It's just had a refurb, but it looks the bollocks. It does look the best.
But there's loads of green king pubs.
Kind
of stuff.
It looks the bollocks.
Yeah.
They've managed to refurb it and make it look old.
That's
impressive.
That is impressive.
But the link for the App Store and Google Play Store is in the description of the video. When you register, use the code PADDOCK. And if, as a listener of this show,
all caps, the dickhead,
you get an additional £5 off when you spend 15 quid on drinks, which is
like a free drink, really.
Known as a free drink. So get involved with Green King pubs.
Do you know what the best thing for me was with Scotty with the poetry thing? Because obviously I've known Scotty for years. And we've had a similar life trajectory. We knew each other when we was like 20, 21, worked abroad together, started, and then we sort of didn't see each other for a little while, started having kids, both went to uni, mature students, both started working, and then we're back in touch, and he was working at one radio station, I was at another, and he's rang me and he's gone, I'm like, how's things, you know, what's going on? I've not spoken to you for a little while. He's got, oh, I'm just, you know, Mrs. is expecting our third kid. I'm like, oh, congratulations. And he's like, yeah, and I've just quit my job, I'm going to become a poet. And I went, and you know, your mate, innit? So you want to back your mate.
You dickhead.
So I did that thing, I went, All right, nice one, bro. Like, you know, good luck with that. Yeah, he's like, yeah, you know, I've always wanted to do it. And I'm like, yeah, sounds great. Put the phone and went, what's a fucking knob, man? What is he thinking? I was like, he's lost the fucking plot. And like, to be fair to him, you know, at 30 odd years old and starting to become a poet when you're not from that world. And, you know, the next thing I know, I'm at the Europa League final listening to Scotty because he's got the official Europa League final UEFA sanctioned poem. And he's just smashing it. So, you know, I couldn't be prouder of him. Yeah, man, follow your dreams and all that. And he's certainly done that and he's made it work.
How the fuck is he? Like, that's not careers. Imagine walking it, especially Scotty. Scotty at 40, he's like, I'll be a poet.
That's what I mean.
Like, Chris, he's like, I'm putting bin man.
Yeah.
Fucking poet, get out of here.
Poet.
Oh, Shakespeare.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? But he said when he started doing it, like, people were looking down the nose at him, you know, because he was sort of like new to it all. And you've got all these sort of toffs, basically.
Of course you have. Yeah. Has he got a cravat?
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck out of him.
And he's talking about football and growing up in Longside and Levenshulme, and you know what I mean?
But
you know,
it's relatable and real. Which exactly. Is why it's become acceptable. Because I think to people like us, poetry is dickheads reading shit we don't know about and words we've never heard. Exactly. Whereas you listen to Scotty, you make it about
Minana calls me cock, which is just brilliant. If you ever Google Minana calls me cock and it's Scotty's poem, about Manchester slang and all that, from someone who actually knows what they're on.
When's
about.
When's his book out?
He's finished it. It's out. It's public. I think it's out in the new year. So go and check it out. Me, are you in that, aren't you?
Yeah, we're in it.
Yeah, me. It's mapping it. Hey, perfect. Boil some piss whilst writing a book. Put me in Steen it. There you go. He wrote a book again on Manchester. It's got me in it. It's got Steen it. It's got people from the Happy Mondays. It's got.
He needs to make it an audio book, and he needs to read it because it'll be epic.
He does. He's interviewed some great people talking about like the late 90s in it to the noise, Manchester, the music scene, the football scene, obviously it's where you're coming in, and just like, you know, what was going down in Manchester basically, because there was a lot happening in this city for a long time, and he covers it all in his own way as well. He is a poet when he writes.
Is Dave Aslam the DJ?
Yes, DJ.
I found out yesterday he's done a book about, and I can't remember the name of it. If anyone knows the name of this book, please let me know, because I heard about this book and I've not had time to Google it yet, but Dave Haslam did a book anyway, basically about the pop culture of Manchester, and he's sort of
Manchester, England.
Is that what it's called?
I read that book about 20 years ago by Dave Haslam called Manchester, England.
Could be that.
And it's from the 50s to the noughties.
No, I think this is just a 90s thing.
Right, it might be something different then, because Manchester, England, it's mainly about the 90s. Like, it might be the same one, but he referenced like the 60s and 50s a little bit.
It might be the same book then, yeah.
It's amazing. That book is one of the best books I've ever read.
Because he brings the football, the music, and he basically, does he say Manchester's the only place all this could happen?
Yeah, it sounds like it is that, because I remember reading that years ago. I love Dave Aslam. I love him. He's proper left wing, and he wears it out on his sleeve about that. Obviously, you know, knows everything about the Manchester music scene, our sort of era as well, the 90s.
He was literally a Hacienda DJ.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I think it is Manchester. Manchester, England. He's very prominent on Twitter, and he's like, he's always taking people to task and just taking the right wing to task. And he's got a lot of opinions, which you want to hear. And he obviously knows what he's talking about because he was there. Do you know what I mean? He's toured around. Just looking at his Wikipedia here. I know Wikipedia's always not accurate, but this is. So he toured with the Stone Roses, New Order, Depeche Mode, Gorillaz, Charlatans. Taught music journalism at Salford Uni and lectured at Man Met. And he's curated the exhibition Dreams Without Frontiers, sorry, at the Manchester Art Gallery.
Sounds like
Kylie's a bit manky, eh?
Also,
sounds like too much of an expert for this podcast, though. Like,
what? On Manchester?
Originally, he's from Birmingham as well. I didn't realise that.
Too much of an expert. There's usually nonsense on it.
Nah, but if we want to talk
about
Manchester.
Yeah, we'll get him on here talking about the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup final. Yeah. We won't ask him anything about
music. And now that has linked to everything he's ever done. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
There's no way it's not. There's no way the Hacienda Rotterdam are not linked, especially with Ecstasy.
Exactly.
Like, there you go. Done.
Exactly. Think about it, bro. Do you know what I mean? Where do you think Onamis were coming from, allegedly? Rotterdam. Why do you think 70,000 fans went over there? Well, it's like 20,000
tickets.
Why do
you think there's loads of BMWs in Manchester in 1992, you dickhead?
Everyone was working really hard.
Yeah, really hard. Yeah.
What's all these tulip boxes about? Shut your dick.
Mate, you're... yeah. Have you ever seen that? What's that film when he go over to Amsterdam and nick a million pills? Layer Cake. I love that film. I think that's really good. Have you ever seen it? It's a good one, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Tom Hardy's in that as well, and there's a few... Mate, everyone's in it.
Tom Hardy's done a lot, you know.
Is he on your list? Do you like Tom Hardy? Yeah?
Tom Hardy's top.
Yeah, my missus is obsessed with Tom Hardy. Yeah, she loves him. Tom Hardy's top. He has done a lot of films, and he's done a lot of good ones as well. He's not like your mate who's done... Well, I say your mate, Nick Cage, you hate.
Fuck Nick
Cage.
He's
done shitloads and, like, just loads of dross. Tom Hardy's done, like, some bangers.
Yeah.
But we went to see the worst film he's ever made.
Tom Hardy?
Yeah.
Does he have a starring role in it?
He's the... Can I tell you something? And I'm not kidding you. He's the only one in it.
What?
Yeah. I fell asleep. It's called Lock, right, with an E on the end. It's him in his car. There's other voices. He's on speakerphone to people. Driving for 2 hours.
This was done in lockdown by any chance?
No. This is the thing. I went to the cinema. My missus said, usually when we used to go to cinema, like, we still do now and again.
That sounds like the sort of film someone like, what the fuck are we going to shoot?
Yeah, no, yeah. It is. But the thing is, it got mad reviews because it's like revolutionary and no one's ever made a film like that. But it is... For me, and I liked him at it, it was a load of shit. It's just him in a car and he's had an affair and the person he's had an affair with is having a baby and he's telling his missus about it and it's all this sort of just drama unfolding.
2 hours with him in the car?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I know. Do you know what I mean? It was fucking shit. I'm sorry. Yeah, so I'm not a
big fan
of that one.
Another film that was given rave reviews.
Go on. Give me your film, right, that everyone loves or has had good reviews that you think shit.
Open Water.
Right, I like this. Now, I think I've heard you talk about this before.
Open Water is the benchmark shit film. It's like the Casualty of films. Because Casualty is the benchmark shit telly.
See, I disagree on Casualty.
Well, you're wrong.
Right, all right.
Everyone's entitled to an opinion, doing this but yours again. Is wrong. Casualty is awful.
We did this in front of Danny Simpson the other week.
It's all right, I'm here today.
Yeah, Danny Simpson was like, is this right? Are we live now?
yeah, it's what we do.
Open Water is the benchmark for shit films. And it got, because it was revolutionary. Yeah, because most films have got a fucking plot and they're entertaining. So it's revolutionary in that it didn't have either of those things.
What's it about? What's going on?
Basically, you get a bit of boob in the front. It goes way downhill from then.
Right.
What? So they get on a boat.
Is that what you thought?
I think they were doing a bit of scubaing or some shit like that. Oh, boat leaves.
Right.
Or
what, without
sinks.
Them?
Yeah.
Right.
I can't remember because it's that bad.
Is that what you
and then it's just like an hour and a half of them fucking treading water.
Shut up. Really?
I wish I was joking.
What?
It's the worst film ever.
Open Water. Right.
You Google Open Water, worst film ever, and I bet there's loads of people who...
We'll just go to
my
the
one that
reviews.
Was
go on.
What's on the IMDb? If it gets more than a 4, it can fuck off.
Bro, Oscars and all bro. That bollocks.
You're not going to like this. 5.8 on IMDb. See, 71%
absolutely stroking
on Rotten Tomatoes. Audience score is 33%, though, you're glad to know.
Yeah. Mine was mine
critics
was,
pricks.
Mine was Gravity.
It's art. You don't get it. Actually,
actually, it's mine comparable
gravity.
To
Gravity.
Yeah,
you didn't like Gravity.
No,
that was Sandra Bullock.
Yeah,
to fucking tears. Mm. And I went in the one that was trying in the Trafford Centre where the seats moved and stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, when you do all that,
yeah.
Even that made it boring. My seats moving because they're moving. And I'm still sat there going, if it wasn't for the seat, I'd be asleep. It was horrific.
Yeah,
that'll be the same
I,
thing.
I'll be honest. I thought
no, was your worst.
The worst film that everyone loved that I didn't, and I'm going to lose you here, 100%. I found...
Be very carefully about what you're saying.
I found flaws in it, historically, which I didn't like. Yeah?
Oh, here we go.
And also, I wasn't buzzing off Harry Styles' performance like everyone else was. Dunkirk. And I went to the cinema to see it. And I love Christopher Nolan. And I love my history. I am a massive, like, films about real life things are my favourite genre. And I just thought it weren't all that. I'm a bit like...
Mm. I think it captures what was like in a big
I can't argue with you on that front. But I just thought...
Did you never see the Germans? The only time you see the Germans is Tom Hardy, they sort of surround him at the end.
Yeah, there's that.
And that's
what... There were moments of tension. The beginning, where they've got the barricades up, or whatever you call them, in the town, and the waiting. I get it. There's a lot of tension there. But I thought, you know, I just thought, in terms of war films, something like Saving Private Ryan was more entertaining.
No, I think it perfectly nailed it. Like,
I knew I'd lose you on this
you
one.
You don't see the enemy.
Yep.
There's periods of waiting around doing fuck all.
Yeah.
Loads of that. Yeah. I think you're right
on that. I mean, obviously, take your word for it. I get that. But just, you know, as an entertainment film for me.
And the way they mixed the
yeah,
timelines.
I thought it got a little bit. I mean, because I'm just bloody stupid.
It wasn't Interstellar levels. But
no, I just thought I was.
Interstellar was a fucking notepad and a guy explaining.
I much preferred 1917 as a war film. I know it's obviously the First World War, but I thought that was a really good film from start to finish.
Well, that was done in one take, wasn't it?
No, some of it was. Yeah, some of it was one shot. There's like one shot. Have you ever seen, I know it's like, I've not watched the film, but I've seen the scene. Have you ever seen Atonement, the 3 minute scene on the beaches for Dunkirk? There's just a one take
Is that
shot.
Daniel Craig in it?
No, it's James McAvoy, Keira Knightley. It's a bit, and it's not a past street, but there's a scene in it where it's like 3.5 minutes or something. It might be longer, it might be 9 minutes or something, of like they're on the beaches on Dunkirk, and it's all one shot, one take, and it is amazing.
I watched All Quiet on the Western Front the other night.
Is that any good? I've heard that's got rave reviews.
Yeah, it's good.
This is the First World War, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't spoil it, though, but I don't want to know who wins, because that just ruins it for me.
Yeah, it's good. It's
What are you shaking your head for?
It should be dick. It's good. It's I think there's a few films that perfectly encapsulate sort of the human experience of war. And obviously, I wasn't in World War One. I did do a battlefield tour and visit the trenches, and obviously you can try and picture what this must be like, but there's a lot of similarities. And there's also a lot of things that I didn't expect. I've never actually seen a World War One film that's shown combat the way it's shown it.
In what way?
The fucking carnage of it. Like, there'll be a surge forward of one line, the Germans against the French, and it'd be like the Germans would surge forward and they kind of punch through the line a little bit. But then you're surrounded, aren't you?
Yeah.
And there was the angle. So you think of trench warfare is just me in a trench shooting at you over there in a trench. And reality was, there was a lot of, like, jibbing across no man's land to try and take bits, and you'd be caught in no man's land, and then you've got to fight in that. And that was never sort of explained to me. It was obviously never tactics that we would use in modern combat and modern military. So I've never actually seen or seen a representation of it. Like 1917 doesn't show it; just shows a lot of charging.
Yeah.
It doesn't ever really show the nitty gritty of it, and it, you know, All Quiet on the Western Front. There's quite a few raw bits where it gets the hand to hand stuff.
Am I right in thinking it's from the perspective of the Germans? The protagonist is German. Do you end up sympathising with? Let's not forget as well, this isn't the Nazis. Let's just get one thing clear. This is, you know, First World War.
Absolutely, because it's
a German soldier who's...
It's like a 16, 17-year-old lad.
Yeah.
They've all got the bravado, which, you know, the British, the French, all of the kids that sort of joined up for the patriotism reasons.
Yeah.
Because it's an adventure.
Yeah.
I think it shows you him getting to the front line. It shows how officers just treat you like a dick. A lot of it was for the glory of the nation, but it's a lot of bollocks.
Yeah.
And there's no spoiler alert in this, I don't think, but it's in the lead up to Armistice Day, which is obviously today.
Yeah.
Pure coincidence. And how one of the German generals wanted, his father and grandfather were both generals that won, I think, in France, weirdly, in different battles.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm fucking 50-odd-year-old. I've not had a victory in France, so... Basically, fuck armistice, we will attack until 11 o'clock.
Really?
So loads of them die.
This is the day of, it's over.
And it's right up until the final whistle, if you like.
It's like Wilfred Owen, obviously, he died after armistice, didn't he? Because there were still some people who didn't know.
Of course there was.
Yeah, so they were fighting, obviously, the famous poet.
It's carnage to be like, right, Wilfred listen, we'll fuck this war off, but Friday at 11.
Yeah. And like, obviously, still, there were still people, and Wilfred Owen was one of those that died, and obviously, he was famous for his anti-war poet who's despite being a soldier, I remember sort of makes it sort of more poignant.
I try and think, especially as I'm watching it this week, and obviously it's in my head with the walks and stuff I'm doing,
yeah.
And obviously, you know, Remembrance Sunday being a big thing and that, trying to put myself in the position of like, they've just blown final whistle. I've literally just been trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And now we're all just milling around at the end because like, there's jobs to do.
Yeah.
Like as soon as like final whistle's called, we've got to start burying bodies and they start getting tags. Like it's fucking mayhem.
It's so horrendous, isn't it? Like how people can just detach themselves from that. Like the some of the officers you mentioned. So,
I think World War II was fucking cool.
Yeah.
If we're talking about like Hollywoodizing it, World War II had the best baddies.
Yeah.
It was like a variety of different sort of combat terrains and theaters. It was fucking awesome. We had planes. We had fucking paratroopers. World War I was just a fucking meat grinder of humans.
Yeah.
It was nothing good about it.
And also, you know, I know. Obviously, some.
And actually, the protagonist wasn't this fucking evil empire.
No.
He was just a load of dickheads. Like, you're my mate, but he's your mate, and he's his mate, and I'm his mate. And then this guy shoots a guy in Sarajevo, and the fucking 20 million people need to die.
It's mad, yeah, because I was watching that thing on, I was watching that Royal Mob, which is it's on, I think, the History Channel, and it's about Queen Victoria's grandkids, and that's like Kaiser Wilhelm.
Yeah, basically all of Europe's.
Yeah, all of Europe's. And now, like you saying, Archduke Franz Ferdinand gets shot. Austria attacks Serbia, Serbia's tied with Russia, and there's all this thing, they won't kill each other, they're all cousins and all that, they just all go for it. And it's like, next thing you know, 20 million dead, and that in turn leads to World War II, in a way.
Because of the restrictions placed upon Germany at the Treaty of Versailles.
Well said, and then Hitler used that to rise to power, and then you've got another fucking World War, which kills even more, and it's mad how, you've got these select group of people, almost sat around a table, like, you go like, just wiping off millions of people, like without a care in the fucking world. It's sick.
I did a battlefield tour when I was in basic training, and there was like a cafe there, and they've got like all the walls behind like a bit of glass is all of like the cap badges and belt buckles and tobacco tins and razors and things like that. Yeah. Like personal effects of all of the that were just found in the dirt around this place, and the cafe's built here. There's a car park. There's a bit of a wood around it. And then there's two, I think there was a red line and a black line, I think it was. And then as you're going on the tour, the guy goes, okay, so this is where the line was.
Yeah.
1914. And that's where the line was in 1918. 300,000 people died here for...
That's like...
7 feet.
That's like Blackadder. Have you seen Blackadder? Where he goes, this is our progress or whatever. This is how much we've advanced.
What's the scale?
And he goes,
this is one to one.
It's like, that's mad. Like, sorry, someone's asked about chats. Loads of people in the chats. I'll get to some chats because obviously we've been talking about, loads of people talk about films and war films. John Hemingway, Saving Private Ryan, Rashvan Hergeshev says Band of Brothers is GOAT. Clayton M says Band of Brothers is the best war series, movies, TV series ever. Do you agree with that?
Ever, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Key Buckley says, there's a Japanese soldier on Iwo Jima still thinks the war's on. There was loads of them, wasn't there? I know he's joking there, but...
There was a guy that they found in the 70s, didn't they? They had to go and find his old commander. He was a guy in his alive, like 90s by the time, yeah.
To tell him.
Like, listen, mate, it's game over.
I know.
And he's like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Could be a trap.
Amir Gokale says, boys, a question. Have you seen Blackadder Goes Forth and why is it so underrated?
It's underrated because it uses the very dark reality of what war was and manages to create comedy from that darkness without demeaning it, which is an incredible skill. Like Rowan Atkinson's a genius.
He is, so is Richard Curtis as well, one of the writers. You're right. And that final episode.
Stephen Fry.
Yeah, where they're going over the top. He says, I've got a plan. And he says, oh, you know what? And then they go. And it's like, that's so sad and poignant. Yeah, throughout it, it's so funny.
It's funny because he manages to, for those who've not seen it, basically he's a captain, I think.
Yeah, Captain Blackadder.
And he manages to fucking not go over the top.
Yeah.
For the whole thing.
Yeah, he's just getting out of it every way he can, you know.
And all the final one is he goes over the top.
Yeah,
it just ends.
That's it. And it's like, oh, mate, it's so sad. Alex Buckingham says, sorry to bring up football chat, but he's, you know, he's got a super chat and he's a member of the first team for 25 months, so thanks for all your support, Alex. Are we ready to call Garnacho the second coming of football god yet? Sorry for the football question, but come on, he's just something fucking else, lads.
It's pretty good that Argentina have finally had a good player come through, innit? I mean, for years and years and years, the poor South American cousins.
Well, it's weird now they've
got
two, haven't they?
Emma Martin.
Yeah, they've never had any.
Any.
There was some of the flats to deceive. Rowe and Ainsley were all right, ish. Do you know what I mean?
Vrom was okay.
I forgot about Vrom was okay. All right.
Yeah.
Outside of that, what have they had? Nothing. Just, you know, the rest of South America's laughing at them.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it? I feel for him, but now maybe Garnacho.
Yeah,
they can pin their ropes on.
Just need to give him a bit of time, though. Just they need to not. We need to obviously. It looks unbelievable, but I just don't think he's. You need to not have him. We need to not be in the position where he has to start and he has to be the main man. You need to be able to take him out and not play him for a few weeks and just.
Do you get more excited by Garnacho than you did when other players burst on the team like Rashford? I'm trying to think, Mason, Greenwood, or is it the same similar thing? Because those players, when they burst on the scene, there was like, wow.
There was a lot of hype with Mason.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it with Mason, but I think with Garnacho, I think there's this, not same as Cristiano, but there's that similar arrogance where he knows how good he is. And I think that's hurt him.
The confidence on the pitch is insane.
Yeah, I think that's hurt him. I think that probably has hurt him early doors. I think that's probably why he didn't start. I think maybe he got too big for
it. We said, and it's the worst kept secret in football was that he was late for two meetings. And like, I think...
And supposedly a bit of a whinge in training as well.
Well, really?
Not taking training too soon.
Right,
but
so...
I think that...
I don't know if that was meant to be public.
But I think you need
a bit.
Well,
it is now. Thanks for that, Steve. An exclusive there. We'll get that clips up and on Twitter.
I'm pretty sure I didn't put it out.
Yeah.
So. I love it when you say things like that. I love it.
Well, it's good. I mean, Anthony's not...
He's forgot that one was in a group chat.
Anthony's a bit older. But it's good to have a couple of wingers there that fancy themselves and just go,
you know what I loved as well? When he settled that goal for McTominay, he turned and was like, ah.
Yeah, that's
like,
it. He's like, goal. Me. Yeah. Fucking me did that. That.
And he was giving it all out to the crowd. I love that. Do you know what I mean? Because he is mint.
The thing is...
So embrace it.
But the thing is, at the minute, you look at what City you've got. And the amount of they've got a lot of
overrated
good players.
Young dross but that they've got. The thing there, is, unlike us,
but they don't. The problem is they don't need to play him. Yeah. And that's what we're in the position now where we have to play Garnacho every
pretty
week.
Fucking good, like McAtee.
Do you know what?
Well, that's not
I'm joking before
all
any
these,
City fans get on there.
All these players,
I know
they've got.
McAtee's a player. I know his dad, McAtee.
I know Cole Palmer is.
They don't need to play him at the minute.
Well, you haven't known.
They can either trick him in or that's it.
Look at Phil Foden's career trajectory, right? Everyone was ribbing him. Or taking him out of City when he was getting 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes.
You need a bit of that.
But you need, yeah. And meanwhile, we were running Marcus Rashford into the ground, playing him every position you can think of, playing him when he's injured, playing him when he's knackered, and then moaning at him when he doesn't perform to the expectations that all the fans demand. Then we had, further down the line, you have Anthony Langer, who somehow, despite the fact he had a decent start, plays 20-odd games in a row, when you can see the poor kid's shot.
I think the ceiling of Alanga was...
Like, come on. It's how not to run youngsters.
Put it this way, I think when Alanga ends up going to a new club, I'm not even sure it'll be in the Premier League.
That's the sad thing, and it's not his fault. But
no, I just think his level is...
Yeah.
He's a professional footballer, absolutely. But, is he first choice in the Premier League? I'm not sure he is. Well, whereas you look at Garnacho's ceiling... Yeah,
but he's not been had a chance to develop Alanga either.
No, he hasn't.
He came into the first team, and I remember Dave Prick going, he's going to cut in off the right and score these goals, and you're like... He's not been able to do that because he's had to play and because he's a good lad who does a job. And I was doing an 11 before. I wouldn't surprise me if he starts on the weekend because he's going to have either Lindelof or Malassia behind him. Mm. And you know he's going to put a shift in. You know what you're going to get out of him. And that's what he's had to work on for the past few months. He's had to work on the reason you're in the team is because you're going to graft for me. Not being able to do what... Like, Garnacho doesn't come in the team and he just gets to express himself.
Yeah.
Alanga's brought into the team as a reliable head. You don't want Alanga coming to the team at 21 having to be the reliable head that tracks back. That's not what you want youngsters doing. You want them coming in and being the one in the front three who can fuck about and try and score us some goals.
To break into being a regular first team player, you've got to have looked ridiculous as an under 18.
Yeah.
And Alanga didn't. He just looked good.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the problem. If you look good at under 18, you're going
League
One.
Who looked better under 18s, him or Marcus? Was Marcus better than him?
Alanga? Marcus by all day.
Was Marcus a given, though? Because I remember you saying you weren't sure if he was going to...
No, there was. I did an article in about 2015.
I remember when me and you first did a thing, you were talking about
said,
Marcus Al.
There was six names on it. There was Marcus Rashford, Fosu Mensah, Angel Gomez, might have been Cal Whelan, right. Tuan Zabi. And Fosu Mensah, if I've not already said it.
No, you said Fosu Mensah.
Right, calm gripping them.
Right.
So it was those six. And obviously, the one that stuck around at United is Marcus. And I think what I said to him at the time is, look, the pace is unbelievable. He needs to take a breath before he finishes. I think that was roughly the sort of synopsis of Marcus. Fosu Mensah could have done anything. He got injured. Not happened. Tuan Zabi could have done anything. Got injured. It's not happened. Callum Gribbin, attitude and let's just say, behavioural attitude of what's cost him. Angel didn't really get a fair shake of it. He's doing bits now in France. He's had to cut around and go around the outside. But he was always going to be someone that matured a lot later because the guy's built like a child.
Yeah.
So it's no shot. I mean, 1 out of 6 actually making it and playing 100 games for United. Scoring 100 goals for United.
Mm.
That's big success.
That is a big success. And this is the nature of the beast as well with youngsters. Do you know what I mean?
You're going to need 10 to find one.
How many youngsters actually break in at the first team? United have got quite a good record of it. But by and large, most youngsters don't make it. No. Like 90%.
Mason looked otherworldly.
Yeah.
So you knew that was going to happen. And he could probably translate it to the first team. Garnacho looked otherworldly. So you think, well, he'll probably get given an opportunity. Colby Maynard looks otherworldly at the minute. But you've got to be so far ahead of the pack to find yourself.
Because you've got to think of how good you have to be to end up having a career like someone like Paddy McNair, who's now a championship player. How good you had to be at 18 to think Louis van Gaal's going to gamble on me and play me at centre-half.
You need to, I've said this to you
before.
And
then you end up at Middlesbrough. And that's a very good result.
There's a bit in fever pitch. And I know Nick Hornby's not everyone's cup of tea. And he's a sort of plastic Arsenal.
Everyone watching this don't know who he is.
Nick Hornby wrote Fever Pitch, right? So it's a book that was turned into a film with Colin Firth in the 90s. Yeah, before, you know, the invention of anything. But there's a chapter on it about Gus Caesar. Now, Gus Caesar played a few times for Arsenal. And in the League Cup final, I think in 1987, he went to clear the ball and he missed it so badly that he fell over and Luton scored and then Arsenal lost the League Cup final and he basically never played for him again. Now, he got hammered as being rubbish. But Nick Hornby makes the point of he will have been the best at his school, the best at his county, the 1%. Best in the youth team. You know, he's in England's under-21s. He's playing for Arsenal's first team when he's 20. Do you know what I mean? He would have been the best on the pitch at every level up until he gets into Arsenal's first team. And then it all goes disastrously wrong for him. So that is the point he's making. It's like, these are players that you look at and go, I went to school with him. He was amazing. Like, I played against him once for me county. He ran the show. They're unreal. Do you know what I mean? Yet that level at the top is so high that
there was a mate
can be all those things and not
that
make
would
it.
Play for school, score 8 goals. Yeah. He was in the same youth team as Wayne Rooney. Didn't make it. Right?
Yeah.
And he was like, it was like playing with R9 in your team when you played for
did he make you look good when you just hit a hopeful ball and you get on the end of it and bang it in and you go,
unbelievable. I saw him pissed up once playing for the Jolly Carter in Drawsden years later. He's a scaffolder now. And I saw him absolutely steamboated. He was a sort of an attacking midfielder like Gazza, a little bit stocky, unbelievable sort of like
body strength.
Balance, just fucking waved past people and just scored goals left, right. Scored 4 goals on his City debut in the reserves.
Right.
Fucking unreal. Didn't make it. Not played a single pro game.
That's sad, isn't it? But it happened so many. Do you know what I mean? I think you've got some messages, haven't we, before we run out?
We do.
Go on.
We've got another sponsor for today's podcast and it is our friends at Manscaped. It is never too early to play holiday music.
I'm glad you're saying these things. Come on,
I'll do this bit and then you can do the waffling bit. And it's never too early to start thinking about gifts, Steve. Are you thinking about gifts for Christmas now?
Look at him, he's already sending some gifts there.
Not yet.
Whether it's for a friend or friends in your pants, you can make the season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favour and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom. Then add Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have people thinking, all I want for Christmas is you. It's November, and we're doing Santa stuff. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you. Look nice when you get naughty to go by going to manscaped.com and use code HOUSEN for free shipping and 20% off.
Because we've all been there, haven't we? We started using Manscaped, and it's changed things for us, haven't it? Because there's changed no more, and it's getting your scissors out in the bathroom or getting the candles out because you can't see what you're doing. Not when you've got the Lawnmower 4.0. Not when you've got the LED light with the 4000K technology. Not when you've got the anti-chafing boxer briefs or you've got the ball reviver, crop toner.
You've got shampoo
ball
and
toner.
Conditioner now, too.
Shampoo and conditioner. You've got everything there. Tell you what, it is Christmas in my pants. Thanks to Manscaped. Yeah. So make sure you are using the code HOUSEN. Go and check them out. You've got the Platinum Package 4.0. There is no better gift to give anyone than making
literally
your
listen,
balls
fuckers,
better.
You're like, I don't know what to buy this bloke in my life. Get him ball trimmers.
Yeah.
At least it's going to make for an interesting Christmas dinner. Did you know
be funny
Jay
about
bought
it.
Me some ball trimmers for Christmas?
Yeah.
Nah, what? Your sack's a sack of shit.
Yeah.
Exactly. 20% off, free shipping. Use the code HOUSEN even. Manscaped.com. There's a link in the description. your balls and anyone you give that gift to Christmas for.
And anyone like you teabag on a regular basis. Yes. Well, thank you.
Get That's your jingle ball ready for the holidays. That's
there
what
you go.
There.
There you go. Doesn't say it there. It's all you just made that up.
See it there. It says it there.
Definitely
are we going to talk a little bit about football?
Andrew A, not yet.
Help it. We're
Andrew A's asking questions. It's so rude. There's a super chat here.
All right, come on. I don't know. You're God. The kid.
You told you about having him on here.
I told you.
Hey. Andrew A, if you can let me get his super chat out.
God, oh, man. Sorry, Andrew.
Says, love to hear Steve's thoughts on Generation Kill.
Oh, my God. I think I told you to watch it.
You did. I've not done it yet. I will do. I'm sorry. It's on my list.
Fucking brilliant. Much in the sort of same vein as Dunkirk, but... Like Dunkirk's done very, very cinematic.
Yeah.
Generation Kill's a bit more of like a chainsaw fucking rock music kind of vibe where I think it's a bit like Band of Brothers. I think it's 8 or 10 episodes, about an hour long each.
Ooh, yeah.
Basically, it's a Marine recon unit on the invasion of Iraq, constantly looking to try and get into the fight, which I totally understand and empathize with the sort of attitude of like, it's going off. Listen, soldiers, think like footballers. You train your entire life. You want to make a debut. You want to get out there. You want to get some trigger time. You want to just fucking get amongst it. And war, unfortunately, isn't always like that. And especially that invasion, people are like, they would have thought they were here for a couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I didn't get a chance.
Was that your thoughts? You know, did you, I know you did obviously see combat, but were you keen to get involved? Or was there any element of you that's like... Oh, man,
a fucking million percent. Right. Every single soldier that signs up wants to get amongst it.
Wants to get amongst it, yeah. There's none of that life.
You go through the entire training. You're probably brainwashed to a certain extent to want to do it. Yeah, so of course you do.
Fair enough.
But yeah, Generation Kill is unreal. It encapsulates, you know, people have made mistakes. You know, is that fucking incoming or outgoing? Is that friendly? Like, all of the shit that Hollywood never really sort of touches on, it touches on. You know, the lads have made their own porta potties so they can have a shit in a field, like out of old ammo boxes, and you know, we haven't got enough oil for the fucking guns and just real basic nonsense. I think it got like quite an ordinary reception amongst the general public and was worshipped by anyone who served.
Really? That's a good endorsement. Go and check out Generation Kill.
Fucking mint, honestly.
Before we wrap up, we've got some football stuff.
Give us some more questions.
All right. Don't get your fucking hands off this. Yet.
Jesus fucking.
I'll ask you a question, Steve. What did you make of people boo? There was some dickheads booing Ashley Young last night.
They were in a minority.
They were in the minority.
Because
it was a minority.
Somehow they've got more press than the fact that he got a standing ovation.
He did get a standing ovation.
But they were Steve and his mate. Right, so let's not amplify it. Do you know what I mean?
I think both ends of that are ridiculous. Ashley Young getting a standing ovation, he wasn't that good.
No,
but
what are we doing? I don't mind him getting a standing
ovation. I don't really like booing. Like, I take the piss out of booing. Because it sounds like I got mooed. Because it sounds like people mooing, doesn't it? It's fucking shit.
That video that Leeds found when the 5-1 down or whatever, Ellen Road, and he's going...
Oh, that one was silent on Sky. Shut up.
Yeah, can we get rid of this absolutely disgraceful behaviour at football, please?
I mean, I'm sure you're entitled to your opinion, and fuck it, if you want to boo someone, boo someone. For me, it's just like, what are you doing?
Do you think that was the match. Best cross he did?
It's fucking good.
Best cross he's done in...
There were so many things I wanted to tweet.
It's a good job he got took off because he
was
going
to
get sent off.
Like, because let's have it right. Yeah, half of it is the fact that we're not that bothered because we were winning or we're drawing and we're about to win. Does he not deserve a bit of acknowledgement? Played over 250 games for Manchester United. Won the title, won the FA Cup, won the Europa League. I'm not saying I'm not getting into this one with you again. I'm just saying I'm not doing it.
I think you are.
Like, I'm not.
Sounds like you are.
We've done this for 10 years. I physically can't do it anymore. But does he not deserve it?
I think he was.
I have, and you'll disagree.
Wasn't he paid?
Yeah, well, what more acknowledgement?
I think
does
it was a count. Right. I think what happened was there was a few dickheads started
booing. Do we owe any money? Like, no.
A few people started booing.
Slate's clean.
And then everyone decided, oh, we have to go over and beyond it.
That was all that happened with me and him. I would be like, Ashley Young was all right, didn't really play that bad. And people were like, what? He was man of the match. I'd be like, no, he wasn't man of the fucking match. No,
right.
And then before you know it, now you're in an argument with 90 people on Twitter.
How dare you talk about sort of deflecting, right? Oh, me and you got into someone once. You said he was shite there. And I said, he's just got man of the match. And then you unleashed the fucking hordes, all your minions on me. And I ended up cancelling my evening plans to stay in and argue on Twitter with people while you ducked out the conversation and went about your life.
Sounds like a you problem, that, Jay.
It does.
Well, it was a you problem. That's
you got a compartmentalised shit.
You weren't even asked because you'd long left that chat and I was still dealing with it. I think there can be a little bit of...
Zero out of 11. He's 0 out of 11.
All right. What did you... Did you give him a standing ovation?
Well,
or an ovation because you already stood up higher. Yeah.
You did the TRA?
Yeah.
I had no choice.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Just clap him. Like, clapping, hey, but he just...
Well, I would say stand up like, if you ate glazes. It's not like you're going to sit down higher.
You're like, I'm eating my pie. Get up, you dick. Just sat down.
It's a good job he got took off, Ashley Young.
I don't think
he's going to
stand up if you ate the glazes. The only time I sit down is half time, you fucking helmets.
Yeah, I think it's good to see those that are sitting down and getting on it. Yeah, and I like the fact, I love hearing anti-Glazer stuff when we're winning as well. Because this narrative of, oh, United fans only moan when they're losing. Yeah, like we moaned when we were the champions of the Premier League.
Stop listening to TalkSport.
Yeah, that's a good point, well made. Clayton M, who's been a member of the first team for 28 months, says two up front, Rashford and Tony behind Sancho, Bruno, Anthony Casemiro holding. Would that work? That's almost my predicted 11, that lad. Do you reckon we could do that? 4-4-2 styling.
No. I may have gone with something similar to that because this is going to play a low block. I think Bruno on the right hand side is an option. I think I think it'd be Marshall and could be Rashford as well.
Yeah,
and I think even if it's not rigid like that and it's a bit fluid.
Just before we go, let's just talk briefly because it will, you know, this Roy Keane thing and Wayne Rooney.
Wait, what's happened?
Right, Roy Keane said about Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo, not Ronaldo Brown. I will still try and defend him. I think he's a human being. He's got flaws. He feels frustrated. He's not being properly getting opportunities had enough. He's walked down the tunnel, obviously, at the Spurs game. I think players have done a lot worse things at Man United. I think it happens. It's human nature. We'll need to go in the rest of that.
If you're in Roy Keane's circle of trust,
yeah,
you're getting defended like he used to play. If you're outside of Roy Keane's circle of trust, you're getting booted like he used to play. And I think that's probably the crux of this.
What do you make of this then, the Rooney thing? Because Rooney's saying the things he has done since the start of the season are acceptable. I've seen Roy defend him, but he wouldn't have accepted that. Not at all. It's a distraction which United don't need at the moment. So what do you make of that? Is it a bit of a sort of
interesting
fair
that Rooney's
enough?
Not told the party line that a lot of the ex-players are sort of trotting out.
Yeah.
Did I see some stuff this week of Rooney being at Carrington a bit more?
Yes.
In a United tracksuit. Oh,
yes. I think he's only been in, he's been invited by Ten Hag, yeah.
Which is interesting to see him
for
that
doing as well.
That. And for that to come out this week and then that to be said, look, I think he's spot on with that. I think you're right as well, though. Keane's just going to back everyone that he likes. And that's Ronaldo is...
The way Keane is with Fergie, honestly, it breaks my heart. It's like watching your family fucking go at each other,
I agree with
it?
That. But on the flip side, he'll defend Brian Clough till the cows come home. Do you know what I mean? He won't have a bad word said about Cluffy, will he? You know, Cluffy got relegated in Keane's last season. He don't care.
He's like, what?
Yeah, he's like, the greatest man who's ever played for is Brian Clough. I'm like, well, Fergie won everything with you. He's like, I don't care. Yeah. Brian Clough.
You got relegated under this one and won the lot under that one. What's your point?
Yeah. Like, that is... Right. I
no,
get that.
No,
I get,
no further questions, Your Honour.
I get that with Roy Keane. There is an element of that.
And yeah, when he makes his mind up, forget it.
Yeah.
And, you know...
The most stubborn.
Oh, the most stubborn.
Yeah, the most stubborn
of
the most.
I still think, though, the treatment of Roy Keane was a disgrace. An utter disgrace.
All right, Drogba.
It's a disgrace, fucking disgrace. No, but it, like, he said some nasty things on MUTV, so they sacked him.
No, what happened is...
Go on then, you know far more than I do, obviously.
They clearly, like, and anyone that was watching in 2004, 2005, Roy Keane was done.
That's what I mean, though. They used it as an excuse to get rid of him.
That's it. Yeah.
That's why I think it's a disgrace, because he deserves so much better.
Yeah.
You didn't go to Brian Robson halfway through the 93-94 season. Probably don't need you as much now, Robbo. We're sacking you.
Wait, what did you just say?
Yeah.
You can't say that's him.
Yeah, you're off.
No, but you know I mean? Think that Roy Keane... Here's the thing. Roy Keane, and there's been a lot of talk that this is what Cristiano Ronaldo's like. I've not seen any evidence this is what Cristiano Ronaldo's like, so I'm not going to say it, but there has been talk that Ronaldo is toxic and this, that, and the other. No one's come out and said that. The only thing that any of the players have actually said is like, yeah, we're all just trying to fucking listen to what he says and learn off him and this, that, and the other. So I don't fully believe that that's the case. But I can imagine a Roy Keane that ain't playing is a bad thing to have in a training
and round. Especially as in that time as well, you've gone through that signings of Veron that didn't quite work. You had Carrick just about...
Carrick was 2006, I think.
You're bringing in these players and the midfield is...
He's bringing Cleberson.
You've got Cleberson in there, Jemba Jemba, and then your lads you're bringing through are Darren Fletcher, who, look, ended up being a very good player, but at first was,
you
know, not one of the
Kieran Richardson's in there.
He's like,
Liam Miller, God rest him.
Yeah, there was the standard wasn't there. So Keane was
grumpy,
probably right.
A grumpy Roy Keane would
have been. Keane was right.
I understand that. I'm not disagreeing with any of that, but my point is, you don't sack him. You've signed him, he's on contract. So you want to let him go in the summer, let him go in the summer. You don't just fire him halfway through.
I think they probably thought he was too toxic to keep
at the same time, you're that young squad. Fergie's just gone there going, remember that lad who used to run the show? He's not here anymore. I run the show. Gone. So straight away.
He got rid of Beckham in shit circumstances.
Yeah. It's the one flaw in Fergie, I think.
But that's what made him successful as well. I think there's the flaw.
He acted too fast rather than too late.
Yeah.
That probably paid off. Like getting Cantona when Dion Dublin's broke his leg, he ain't dead.
Yeah.
Like, but yo, he's broke his leg, get me a striker.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Acting too quick has had negative connotations at times, but it probably, like Al said, was probably a massive driver in why he was successful. Because look at some of the teams that you've seen around and try to compete with Fergie. They ripe and they rot. You never really saw that with Fergie. The only time was when Jose came in and upset the apple cart. But you look at our signings around that time, they weren't great.
No.
You know, like you said, this is the Cleberson, you lose Roy Keane. Yeah. You've sort of got the hangover of the treble that, you know, he's trying to shake that out of the legs a little bit. I think that for all of those sort of negative connotations, acting quick was the reason that Fergie was able to win something and immediately start moving towards the next thing. Like, we win the treble, we win three back-to-back, which still hasn't been done by an English team with a European Cup. And we're immediately trying to transition into a new way of playing. We, you know, we go straight out and buy fucking Varane and Van Nistelrooy and Rio and then Rooney and then Ronaldo. And you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, we ain't messing about here.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the positive traits of Fergie.
No, I get you. I get what you're saying. And, you know, you need that edge. So you need that.
Look at 95. You just win the league, win Mark the double. Hughes. We miss out on it by a goal. You look a fuck off.
Yeah, lose the final and, like you say, miss out on it by a goal in the league, and you get rid of one of your most experienced strikers.
Unbelievable,
one of your best
midfielder.
He was underrated for me.
And Kinchelski.
I think Kinchelski's the only one who sort of forced the issue a little bit, but certainly Ince and I don't think Spike. I don't know about Spike, but Ince didn't. He was told you can go.
12-year-old Steve just, or 11 was it been? 11 or 12-year-old Steve being 15. Flabbergasted.
Yeah.
Like, Mike Hughes has gone.
That's someone's good point here. Courtstar says, Yap Stan was his mistake, but you take the many wins for the few losses. Yeah. And I think Fergie admitted it with Stan.
That was it.
He's the only one who has admitted it.
Yeah, it was a mistake, but do you then be able to get Vidic, Rio and would have been PK until he fucked off as your three centre-halves with Stam still lingering about? One of them maybe doesn't come in and
I don't think he buys Blanc.
No.
You might have seen Stam and Rio.
Which would have been ridiculous.
Mate, I still think about that. Imagine that. Jesus Christ, that would have been unreal. You know what I mean? You don't need a keeper. Just honestly, pick 11 outfield players.
Just go check the rules.
Yeah, do we have to have a keeper?
11 outfielders?
Yeah, we don't really need one. That's not going to be a thing.
Fucking
that would have been
real
ridiculous. John O'Shea can
catch one.
Playing John O'Shea. What's this? Sorry, I've missed this now. Someone said, Man United Chauvin, I play Football Manager and I'm leading the league. I also created myself and Jay as players, you know. if you see me at 8 aside, son, you won't be doing that. Before we wrap up, we've got an event in Dublin on the 30th of December. There's a link in the chat with Chocky. We're getting Chocky, and I know you're on my case here about getting Chocky on the brew regularly, and we're going to do that. We're going to work on him when we're in Dublin on the 30th of December. So go and check out the link I've just put in the chat for that as well, because it'd be me, Steve, Macca, Adam McCullough.
Are we taking an act with us as well?
A what?
An act.
I don't know about that.
No.
Well, there is an act there. There will be an act, but then there'll be us four.
Don't we have an opening act?
Sort of.
It'll be dealt with.
Yeah.
Secretive.
All you need to know, right, you've got me, Stephen Allison, Adam McCullough, Joe Smith.
Is it Eva Mendes doing burlesque?
Yes.
Possibly.
Oh, yes.
Brian McClare. Go and check out the link in the chat that I've just put in there if you can get to Dublin or you're in Dublin on the 30th of December. What are you up to this weekend?
We're playing top of the league tomorrow.
Oh, where are you in the league?
Fifth with four games in hand, but it'll still
four games in hand?
Still be four games in hand after this weekend, hopefully when we get 3 points off these, which means that if we win our games in hand, we go three clear. So big. In the last few... Basically, if we put these away tomorrow, we'll have beat first, second and third in the last 4 weeks.
Wow, That's impressive.
And like I said to the boys a month ago, we're going to know if we're full of shit or not in the next month. And we've been playing pretty well. Performances have been good. There's been a lot of control in them. Had to come from behind last week after conceding from a fucking set. But keeper shouts, keepers! And I missed it.
I'm glad. The good thing is, though, the important thing is, though, you've forgiven him for it.
Yeah.
as I can tell. Mr. Bagley, what are you up to this weekend? How many comedy shows are you going to?
No, not this weekend.
Pathetic.
No, I'm not going this weekend. Trying to get Peter Kay tickets tomorrow. Well, that's
good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. You and the fucking rest of the world.
It's madness.
Joe, I'm more surprised at. I thought he was dead. There was loads of rumours.
Yeah, there was some shady rumours going around, but he's not. He's back with a vengeance. Great way to introduce him.
You don't know that. It might be a hologram.
That is a very good point, that.
I saw Tupac. He was a hologram.
Was it? Or was he, though? Was he real?
I think he was.
All right. Ooh, you never know.
Yeah, so that's my Saturday. Trying
so
to
you sat on Tinternet trying to get Peter Kay tickets.
You know what, I'd say get us one, but don't bother.
No, I've got you the Bert Crash. Not Bert Crash, Tom Segura ones. Didn't get you the Bert Crash ones. You get them yourself. But yeah,
if anyone's after...
Loads of them lot are coming fucking doing America, aren't they?
Yeah.
Listen, if you're watching, Ian Edwards, get your shit together. There's actually a lot of very good comedians that United fans that watch us. Shout out Kay Curd. I think he's just announced a tour, hasn't he?
Kay Curd watches us, I think.
Email us and we'll fucking throw... Oh, yeah, Ishan's doing one. Ian Edwards, I was texting him going, like, why is all of your mates coming to England? Because, like, his mates with Joe Rogan and Tom and all of these lot. I was like, why are all these lot coming to England? You're from fucking England. Come do a fucking tour, man. He normally, like, so he was, like, support for when Joe Rogan, what a show that would have been as well, Joe Rogan and Dave Chappelle.
Oh, God shut
damn.
Up.
God damn. And he was shut the...
Up, he met Dave Chappelle, didn't he, the other week?
Yeah, just randomly in that club in Liverpool.
He rocked up at Hot Water. He was doing a show in Liverpool. He just rocked up at that Hot Water Comedy Club
Oh, my God.
Imagine just being in the Comedy Club. He did two hours.
Yeah, you're just thinking just, like, wall-to-wall weird scousers.
Yeah, and Dave's the greatest comedian ever.
It's got to be a lookalike, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle's just come on at a local comedy store in Liverpool.
That's mad.
No, he's not. You lying dickhead.
You know what the mad thing about that was? That Ronaldo had said Ronaldo Brown had gone on the Monday. He was like, I went to this comedy thing in Liverpool, you might have heard. And I said, yeah, it's the big comedy club.
So Ronaldo's not got a girlfriend who lives in Liverpool.
Right. And he took this one that's not got a girlfriend who lives in Liverpool. To a comedy show.
Yeah, Ronaldo went there though because he thought it was a chip shop.
Yeah.
He just got chip. I can have a chip, man. What?
What?
Oh, right, okay.
I've got to be quiet.
Oh, it's a comedy. Oh, right, all right. May as well sit down and watch it. Yeah.
And then Dave Chappelle was 2 days later and he went, who's that?
Oh, my God. But you better look after him over there, you.
I'm taking him to an aquarium.
I'm scared. Because once you stop caring, he's in all sorts of trouble.
I'm worried for him.
Do you know what I mean? I've got
a right good idea for some content to do with him.
I'm very worried and scared about him. So make sure you keep your eye on him. go and check out Steve on Stretford Paddock. Also check out Steve Nelson TV for if you've got a Steve fix and Ronaldo Brown fix. He's been doing the XG files earlier. Baggers, where can people find you?
Baggers_Alex on Twitter, Instagram.
Playing golf this week?
No, I played last week. I'm having a week off. Can't be asked. It's too cold.
That's the spirit. Do you know what I mean? That's the thing you want to say.
Someone said to me, do you want to play golf in Qatar? No.
I'd love that.
Are you mad?
Yeah, I'm learning to play golf.
I think Rail's playing golf.
Give a shout out to the people that sponsored this podcast.
Yeah, so Green King Pubs, go and check them out. Download the app.
Go to Jeansgate.
Go to any Green King pub, watch football this weekend. And Manscaped, of course.
You're like, where is it? Code, underneath the Hilton.
Code Housen to get...
The only code you ever need in life.
The only code.
It opens so many doors for you, honestly.
Just try code housing on any website.
Next week, we're going to be back and you're not here next week, are you?
No.
I've got your mate here as well.
Who?
So you don't need to worry about it. Just check it out next week. We've got one of the premier Mancunian musicians on this.
Oh, it's Jim, innit?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So make sure you check that out. I've been Jay. That's been Steve. That's been Baggers. This has been The Brew. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.